Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat. Welcome back to the final hour of Tip Today, 1800 938 007. That's our free phone number if you want to make a call to us. And Leanne is looking after the programme today. Just to remind you again, we're talking gardening towards the end of the hour with Ulta Nesbitt from Arabon. So if you have a gardening query, will you log it with us, please, as soon as you can? 083 311 3311. Now, I'm glad to be joined in the studio by Superintendent Eddie Golden. Eddie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
And thanks for coming in to us today. You're going to be with us on a regular basis. This is going to be different to the Garda slot where we talk about crime and what has happened over the previous couple of weeks. You're going to try and deal with people's queries about various different things that interest them, where the Gardaí's role is concerned, I suppose, Eddie.
I think there's definitely an appetite for more information that the public, that we may be able to give the public in relation to a range of different topics, and we'll try and cover those as best we can. And really with this input, we're looking for members of the public as well over the next couple of weeks. And now, I don't have to tell you, Fran, like, you're getting it on the text message there every day, the topics that are coming up on a regular basis. So we've discussed this ourselves of what we should be doing or could be doing. You know how passionate I am about the whole area of, you know, of doing the right thing and getting people just to, you know, if we can all live in a little bit of harmony at any level, I'd be all for that. And again, just to try and give an extra piece of clarity in relation to some of the ambiguity that might be there in relation to possibly legislation. And again, I'm open to the whole ream of what people would like to ask. And look, I don't have all the answers. I have a lot of answers, and I will have a lot of, I suppose, advice, which I will feel is as balanced advice as I can give. I'm not going to be able to answer everybody's questions, and we'll also have probably two different sides to every argument as well. So it's not really an argument, it's more of an information piece. And again, we need to keep dialogue open on issues. I think once dialogue stops and it becomes closed, people become very entrenched, and we have scenarios that can develop, whether it's in public order areas, whether it's in relation to people that, you know, are victims of crime or whatever it might be. And from a Garda Síochána's point of view, if there's a feeling that the guards are not doing enough, or we could do more, or whatever it might be, sometimes there's explanations for that.
Yes.
But I'm not going to be given excuses, I suppose, on behalf of Garda Síochána. Like, we have to provide a very good service, and sometimes that service is not, you know, not up to the required standard. But in the majority of cases, we're doing our best to give the information to help people that are in difficulty. And then this piece, which is more of a softer information piece, that as we work through this, I'm hopeful that it might just give that extra piece of information or knowledge or clarity that would allow people then to just stop that anxiety and again,
of course,
and then
yes,
looking at the overall picture that we have.
And we'll deal probably with a particular topic every time we do. But Eddie, is it fair to say, or am I too simplistic in thinking, if there was common sense applied to everything, we wouldn't have issues? You know, whether that's driving at a speed that's appropriate because of weather and stuff, or whether it's not having road rage because somebody is incorrect on the roundabout. Is that fair to say, Eddie, that common sense and just a bit of patience and...
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing. Is common sense as common as it used to be? I'm not sure. I just know that I my experience of dealing with live situations, where it's public order, it could be drug scenarios, it can be a wide variety. At this stage now, I have a lot of experience in a lot of different areas, and I do feel that people's reaction in some scenarios, you just can't believe that they're reacting in such a way. So whether it's a road rage incident, or somebody's gone so emotional in relation to, or so tunnelled with their opinion, or with their... Now, it can be drink-fuelled, it can be drug-fuelled, but in other scenarios, it's not necessarily drink or drugs, it's somebody who gets so annoyed in a scenario, they lose reason, and because of that then, whether it's on the road or off the road or wherever it might be, their actions, and we have this several times, even with the members of Garda Síochána, like, people come back into us and apologise because of their behaviour.
They lost the plot.
Yeah. Lost the plot, you know. And look, that's not excusing that behaviour, but again, sometimes we have to remember as well that everybody has stuff going on with them. You know, we cannot be judgmental in a Garda Síochána. And I suppose the minute I say that, people say, well, I have a scenario where where the Gard was X, Y or Z. And all I can say is that in general terms, like, we have to be as balanced as we can. We can't get emotionally involved in these scenarios. We have to do what the law says, and we have to then try and mediate. Sometimes it's a hard line we draw, but in more times, like, it was interesting, I was listening earlier on, if somebody said, you know, calling into a Garda station if you were feeling unwell, or like that is an option for people. And you know, you won't be turned away.
Yes.
We're open 24
hours.
But
that does happen.
It does happen, yeah. We've people that don't feel well and they come into us and we might have to get a doctor for them, or, you know, and then we try and get family members involved. And so there's a whole range of topics, really, Fran, that I'm hopeful we can just get some clarity on and see how it goes.
Absolutely. Today it's about one of the most divisive issues, as far as I'm concerned anyway, which is cycling. There seems to be a complete divide. It's as if cyclists never drive, that they're the enemy out there, or it's the motorists are the enemy where the cyclists are concerned. Is that your experience, that there's a...
Well, I think listening to the commentary on the radio, you know, and not this station, nationally, there does seem to be very strong views on both sides.
Mm.
And once, at the very extreme of that, people are very much on one side of the or the other.
Yes.
And I think once that happens, we've talked about it already, I've said about these entrenched mindsets. So I think there's always middle ground, and there's always another view to be listened to or at least considered. And that is one of the hopes from these type of talks as well, that we might just change that mindset, just say, look, maybe you didn't think about a certain scenario or whatever it might be, that we could just change that mindset. Because, yeah, I don't know how we've come to a situation where we now have a kind of an us and them in certain parts of the demographic. And, you know, every time we mention cycling, it does get quite contentious and people are very emotive about it. And I can understand as well. Look, I've said it before, I've driven trucks, buses, motorcycles, bicycles. I haven't done the e-scooters. I don't think I will. I'm a little bit, I'm minding myself. But we've all these range of different vehicles and all these road users, pedestrians and everything into the mix. So what I would say, again, is, Fran, we need to go back to the basics. And what I mean by the basics is that, you know, every road user is expected to have a positive and considered attitude to other road users. And, you know, the rules of the road book, and it's probably the less, everybody in the country got one at one stage. It's not read only for the test, and a lot of people just forget about it after that. But the fundamentals in that book are the fundamentals which you mentioned already, should people be looking at the standard of where we're at. That's the rules. Like, there are rules for everybody. But those rules, everybody thinks that once the rule is enforced, they're looking for options of how we're going to get around it, or if...
It's such an Irish thing, isn't
it's
it?
It's an Irish thing that, you know, if somebody gets in trouble, that the first thing to do is, how are we going to get out of trouble? And, you know, is there a loophole or whatever? But fundamentally, if you look at it, it's worth noting, a failure on your part to obey the rules of the road, like, it doesn't automatically mean you're going to be prosecuted, because there may not be a guard exactly there. But, you know, it does increase your risk of putting yourself in a position of danger. And, you know, from a civil point of view as well, sometimes, you know, if there's a crash or a collision, from a civil point of view, if there's a breach of the rules, they will come back into play, even though there may not be a prosecution. And it's very important, like, there's kind of three basic principles in relation to the rules. Like, if we look at how it's evolved over the last 50 years, the rules haven't really changed a lot. But, you know, always be able to stop at a distance you can see to be clear. You need to be able to control the vehicle, whatever it might be, bicycle, motorcycle, whatever car you're driving, to extent that you can stop without causing a problem for anybody else. Always take into consideration prevailing road, weather and traffic conditions, and I've mentioned this several times. And again, just to be able to always drive taking account for other road users. So you need to look for changes, you know, perceived dangers as well. So it could be animals on the road, it could be cyclists, it could be a whole range of topics. So once you get into that zone, you need to be...
But again, Eddie, it's common sense, you know, and as you say, it's not that common. Could we get into the specifics of it? One of the many things that anger motorists is the notion of cyclists cycling abreast, for example. What are the rules around that?
Well, the this is the two abreast scenario,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah.
So, look, the first thing to clarify is it's legal for cyclists to cycle two abreast.
It is legal?
It is legal.
Okay.
There's a particular article of the Road Traffic Act that allows that. Now, you must not then, the three abreast scenario or four abreast scenario that comes into it, you'll find that people riding two abreast, particularly in group riding, may have to go three abreast to get to the top to move back, and they do a kind of a circular motion to try and, in a group dynamic in particular. That's one of the areas where you'd see it. But that overtake of three abreast, you know, cannot happen if it's going to endanger or obstruct other traffic. So just think about that for a second. So if you're three abreast and you're obstructing over traffic, that's a no-no.
Right.
If you're two abreast and everything is normal and you need to get to the top of that group or overtake two cyclists that are driving slower than you, and it's clear to do so, the same rules for overtaking apply. You look, make sure it's 100% safe, overtake and move back in. The whole dynamic of the two abreast, and I've listened to the commentary on this, and then you have people that are cycling in the middle of the road two abreast. Some motorists might expect them to be in the hard shoulder. Some other might be expecting to be in a cycle lane. There's a whole different variety of scenarios that involve then. But once you start in a two abreast scenario, and we'll just talk about the group for a moment, I would use the analogy of two abreast cycling is like a slow moving vehicle. So if you have a number of cyclists together riding in groups,
it's like an entity in itself.
Yeah, yes, it's an entity in itself. Okay. So within that group as well, you know, there are certain leaders in those groups. There's people watching out for, they call, they'll say car coming, whatever it might be. So two things happen here. If the group have an opportunity to pull in and leave off the cars, you know, I would say they should consider that, and they should be considering that. But then they'll say that they don't want to stop their flow or movement. So sometimes that is not available to them, sometimes it is. But if they're not considering that moving in, that causes frustration for the drivers behind them. And then drivers then get frustrated, overtake in inappropriate areas, and end up maybe coming back into that group of cyclists, which is absolute carnage, because then you're coming in conflict. The rules that apply, there is a fine now for motorists in relation to dangerous overtaking, which is in for a number of years, since 2019. There's also the guidelines of the 1.5 metres, which should be in the slower, in the 50k zones, and then the 1 metre for the bigger roads. But I'm kind of very wary of getting into that whole exactly metre, exactly 1.5.
Right, because how can you tell?
It's quite difficult. It is quite subjective. And, you know, the cycling fraternity will say that, you know, in Gairdsí Conaire are not enforcing that enough. And I would say that our level of enforcement, again, to get the right level of proof in those cases, can be difficult at times.
Yes.
But I would also say that we have prosecuted motorists for getting too close to cyclists. But again, if we look at the cycling rules as well, like, there's a number of rules that apply to cyclists. And I think cyclists need to, if everybody is doing their bit and applying the rules of the road, and that's why I'm focusing on rules of the road this morning. You know, if you're cycling, stop at traffic lights when required, stop at pedestrian crossings, zebra crossings, stop at cycle traffic lights when required, stop at stop signs, yield signs, avoid cycling on the motorway is a no-no. Cycling on the footpath, although it's not a specific offence.
That's into us actually as a question, Eddie. Why are cyclists allowed on the footpaths? Because it's a danger to pedestrians. So,
but although there's no fine on the spot for cycling on the footpath, I would have to say that they could still fall foul of one of the FCPNs if they were dangerous on that footpath scenario. But it's funny that, I suppose, it didn't... they didn't specify that driving on the footpath as an FCPS fine, but I would say that driving on the footpath once there's pedestrians there is a no-no. They should be on the road then, if it's safe to do so. So, look, they're the kind of areas, the fines on the spot that were introduced, like, are very basic. No front and rear light, riding a bicycle without reasonable consideration. That's the one I'm talking about now. If you were on a footpath, there could be a fine issued if you're not driving without reasonable consideration, because there's other pedestrians
right,
there.
You're putting people in danger. Is there an obligation, though, and from what you're saying, I don't think so. If there's two riding abreast, and not a big group down, but say just two cyclists, and I come along in my car, is there an obligation on them to go into single file, Eddie?
When
they see the car behind them?
I think that's a decision that the cyclist can make
right,
based on the risk associated with, like, if for example there's an opportunity for those cyclists to go into single file and allow those traffic to pass, then that is something they should consider.
Right, but it's not
necessarily
an obligation.
An obligation.
Okay. Right.
And this is where I think a lot of people are getting frustrated that, you know, they come across cyclists two abreast and then they don't go into single file. Now, again, this is very subjective. I've spoken to cycling groups, national cycling groups. I've spoken at the higher level in bigger forums about this. And, you know, the cyclists will say we're even entitled to be there. We have a right to be there. And they're right. They have the same right as the motorists to be on the same road. But then it's about doing the right thing at the right time. And that's where the conflict
arises.
Right. And
looking after their own safety as well. This is an odd one, Eddie, but I mean, if there is a cycle lane available to cyclists, and there's a famous one in Cashel on the Old Kerr Road there, and cyclists choose to be on the main road as opposed to using the cycle lane, which is just beside them, what about that?
Well, the cycle lane scenario, so in the built-up areas, in the cities, there is an obligation on people to use the cycle tracks, particularly where there's contraflow lanes.
Yes.
And there's all that. When we look at the likes of the Cashel scenario, which is a newly established roadway, and I've seen it myself, obviously you'd be hoping that the cyclists would use that as their preferred. But I've also listened to the whole point of that there's cars exiting Mother Hubbard, for example, there's a number of different hazards. You have to remember as well the different type of cycling. Recreational cycling now, the bicycle has evolved into an entity that can do up to 30 kilometres an hour, you know, within those areas. So they're quite faster machines. So I would say that if there is a cycle lane, the advice would be to use it. But again, the roadway, the cyclist is still entitled to use the roadway, so there's no specific offence for
that's
not
what
using
I mean. They were not breaking, because there's a famous piece of video of that particular stretch where two cyclists are out on the road while running beside them is the cycle lane. But that's not an offence, you're telling me, Eddie?
No, not a specific offence.
Right.
And I think motorists probably need to realise that as well. That so the decision, if I'm coming down the hill in Cashel and I decide to stay on the road, I'm still a road user, and then the normal rules apply. Why I haven't used the cycle lane, I don't know.
Right.
It's preferable that they're in the cycle lane, because that is the safest place
and
that they should
be. And
don't
shoot the messenger here. These are the rules. Okay. Is that what you're saying to me, really, you know?
Well, yeah. And again, the rules are there. Everybody has a rule. Everybody would love a rule to say, you should be here, you should be there on the road. It's not as
black and white,
unfortunately.
Somebody wondering as well, Eddie, about the clothing and be safe, be seen and all of that, and the obligation around that. I mean, if on a 6 o'clock on a winter's morning, if I'm out on my bicycle and I'm all dressed like Johnny Cash and I don't have proper lighting and stuff, am I committing a crime there? Am I?
I had some very interesting discussions with the lobby groups, the cycle lobby groups, in relation to this on one-to-one basis in different forums. And there's no obligation for you to wear either a helmet or a yellow jacket. Now,
wow.
Yeah, that's no
interesting.
It's not an offence. So, however, from the road safety greater family, we would say that, you know, by wearing a helmet, first of all, like I've gone to collisions where a cyclist has come off their bicycle, banged their head, had no helmet on, and died. You know, so.
So it's that serious?
That serious. And this was no car involved. In the middle of nowhere, comes off the bicycle, hits the head. The head is so vulnerable, particularly when I'm talking about bicycles now that can do 30 kilometres an hour, as I said, or even 40 downhill, you know, 50 at times. So we're talking about that. So that's that personal decision not to wear a helmet, I would say, is one that could come back to haunt you. In relation to the yellow jackets, I've had very robust conversations with cycle lobby groups who said, I'm not wearing a yellow jacket. I don't have to wear a yellow jacket. You can't force me to wear a yellow jacket. There's no law saying I have to wear a yellow jacket. And I'm saying, fine, but
why wouldn't they want to, Eddie?
Again, it's part of that. If we go to that extreme of saying you can't force me to do it.
Okay.
That's okay. I'm not forcing you to do it. I'm giving you the best advice possible. The best advice possible is you're a vulnerable road user. You're going to be out in the roads. And if you don't wear that yellow jacket, you know, is there a chance that the motorists would have seen you a little bit earlier, or have had that extra piece of time to slow down or whatever it is? And I don't want to just go on about the cyclists now. The motorist as well, like we were talking about dipped headlights the other day, you know, people driving around the other day there I was coming out from on the motorway. No dipped headlights on, or no appreciation that their headlights, that their lights weren't on at the back of their vehicles. So there's a whole heap of rights and wrongs that people can do on a daily basis.
Does it surprise you to know, Eddie, that a lot of listeners are surprised that it's not an offence not to wear a helmet?
Again, this is something that has been debated across, but again, there's no obligation.
But I'm just going in terms of people's...
A motorcyclist has to wear a helmet.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And it's the same with the e-scooters and all that area. Now, there is some change in legislation. I haven't seen it yet in relation to e-scooters. I went to Brussels many years ago in relation to the e-scooter piece, 2020 there. So we're 4 years down the road now. Yes. We're still waiting for clarity on those matters. So all we can deal with is what we have in front of us. But again, just like the cyclist as well, you know, knowing how to control your bicycle, never weave in and out of traffic. Now, I've been in Dublin recently on the Keys, and I have to say there was bicycles coming at me from every angle. They were everywhere, particularly coming up to traffic lights. And then once we go through the traffic lights, and there were some people breaking the traffic lights. There were some people going across the pedestrian area to go across the next green to get back down to save 1 minute. And that type of behaviour we'll see, that doesn't do any cyclists any good, because the majority of cyclists are law-abiding, in my experience. Then we have the cohort that will just a little bit less. And then we have the same with the motor side of things.
Listeners can't believe that you'd have to convince people to wear a helmet. it's
interesting. I've been to America, and you have as well, friend. Yeah. There's some states in America you don't have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle.
That's right. Yeah.
So those type of, you know, decisions are made at higher level and depending on the...
All right, there's lots coming into us, Eddie. So there's great interest in this lot. People talking about lights and headlights and fog lamps and all sorts of stuff. We will get to it. People do want to have a conversation about those scooters.
Okay. That's okay.
So
that's
at some other point, we will do that too. Eddie, good to see you, and thanks very much indeed. But I mean, the main message is, do you know, a bit of common sense.
Well, I think we can revisit this as well, friend. This is not just going to be a one-off. I think that, you know, we've spoken a lot about, you know, the cycling part of it today. There's the motorcycle or the motorist part of it as well. So can we just get the message across this morning that small breaches of the Road Traffic Act or the rules of the road on either side of the divide can create an environment whereby it creates frustration, it creates a dangerous situation, and also can bring motorists and cyclists into conflict, and then it's too late. We don't want those to develop.
All right, Eddie, good to see you. Thanks very much indeed, Superintendent Eddie Golden, with us today. And thank you for all your queries and your ideas about what we can do in this lot over the coming weeks, and we certainly will have a look at that.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.